Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. A lot of Sunday school curriculums have this story. And it shows Daniel as a child or a teen. But of course, Daniel at this point is toward the latter end of his life. And he's in his 80s. Could be 80 to 85 years old here in Daniel chapter 6. And I need an official passer out or a guy, someone that's qualified to pass out papers. Have anybody like that? Hope I have enough of these. Looks like a small stack. Just a couple of things, thank you, sir, that'll help us gleaning a few things out of chapter 6. If there aren't enough, we have a copy machine. We can knock some out in a heartbeat. So don't not take one. That'll be at the end of the chapter. And we probably aren't going to get to the end of the chapter today anyway. I could have held those till next week. But anyway, those are practical truths from chapter 6. Let's look at Daniel 6. We're going to answer some questions as we go through the chapter. Things like, is it possible to live joyfully in any circumstance? Is it possible to be filled with joy in any circumstance? Does God become real to us in difficult times, or does he seem further away? We all go through hard times, and as we go through hard times, if we are walking with the Lord, filled with the Spirit of God in obedience to the Word of God, we should not sense that God is further away, but that he is ever near. He lives within those who have been born into his family. Which leads us to another question, whether our faith at this point in our lives is active, or is it more of a passive faith? Our faith should be active. You got all those left. Wow. You did good. Everybody got one that wants one? Okay. If you need one, they'll be up here. And then finally, are we easily swayed by those around us, whether it be at work, school, whatever? Are we easily swayed, maybe family members, by those who don't know the Lord? Daniel could have very easily been swayed by those around him. He could have easily given in. More than one time in his ministry, more than one time in his captivity, he could have given in, and he didn't. He stood strong. He never failed the Lord that we find recorded in the Word of God. All right, so let's look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. If you want to keep an outline, I didn't have Barbara type it out, but if you want to keep number 1, Daniel favored by Darius. Daniel favored by Darius, verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now remember, in the last chapter, we find the fall of Babylon. Handwriting on the wall. Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was killed. And the Medes and the Persians, Darius the Mede, Cyrus the Persian, this would be a kind of a dual kingdom. Cyrus would actually appoint Darius to rule over this kingdom. And so Darius was set over, or Darius then, underneath him, verse 1, set over the kingdom and 120 princes or 120 officials who would keep order and collect taxes. And I could make a political comment, but I won't. For a change. The last part of verse number 1, which should be over the whole kingdom. So 120 officials, And then there were underneath that, or above those, number two, and over these 120 were three presidents. And Daniel was the first of the three. So here is a man who was taken captive as a teenager, 14 to 16 years old in the Babylonian kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar had taken him and others captive. And even though he was in a foreign land, even though he could have gone the way of the Babylonians, he was young enough to be totally brainwashed, he stood firm on what he was taught as a child. He stood firm upon the teachings of the Word of God, and he said, I will not compromise. I will not defile myself. I am going to live for my God as long as I have breath. And so here he is, 80 to 85 years old, and he has now been elevated, which it demonstrates again, it's God who sets up kings and princes and presidents, and it's God that takes them down or allows them to fall. So Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them. So the 120 were supposed to report to the three presidents, and Daniel was first, so certainly he should have known what was going on. Would you agree with that? He should have been the first one that everyone reported to. So God continued to bless and promote Daniel. Should give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then, verse 3, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Now, certainly this was no accident in history. God wanted him to be in this particular place at this particular time in history. I mean, this wasn't man's plan per se. This was God's. The 70-year captivity was coming to a close. There weren't that many years left. And Daniel could, hopefully, influence King Cyrus, who ultimately did much helping regarding the people going back to their own land. His decree was so favorable to the Jews, it certainly looks like Daniel did have an effect. If you want to write these down, you can write down Ezra 1. Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And also Ezra 6, verses 3 through 5. We're not going to take the time to look at those, but they have to do with Cyrus and his decree. And so Daniel, as is the case with our God, never leaves himself without a witness, does he? And Daniel certainly was a faithful witness. Sometimes a witness may be promoted, sometimes they're not. But the child of God should work hard as Daniel did and have the attitude of a Daniel and the heartbeat of a Daniel, the spiritual makeup of a Daniel, that he can make a difference. And Daniel made a difference. In the midst of captivity, he made a big difference for God. So that's Daniel favored by Darius. Number two, Daniel framed by his enemies. Daniel framed by his enemies, verses 4 through 9. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Now wait a minute, whoa. Who was number one under the king? Who was it? Daniel. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me number two and number three presidents and the 120 princes ignored Daniel and did not report to Daniel as they should have? It kind of looks that way, doesn't it? So they sought everything they could to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. In other words, what did Daniel do wrong in his leadership? What did Daniel do wrong as the number one president? They said, we're going to investigate. We're going to figure something out. We got to find fault with him. We got to let the king know there's something we can do. But they could not find none occasion nor fault. They looked and looked and looked and looked and looked, had committees and had all kinds of investigative reporters and everybody that could lay their hands on to investigate the background of Daniel, trying to find dirt in his ruling or in his work in the kingdom, could not find anything. For as much as he was, what's that word? Faithful. In the New Testament, we're reminded that a steward, a manager of what God entrusts to our care, should be found faithful. God is looking for men and women in his church that are faithful, not just to services, but to service and worship in seeking to lead others to him. Faithful, trustworthy. Neither was there found any error or fault in him. So not only did they look at how he did his work, how he led, but they looked at him. So we got to find out if there's anything in him. Let's really try to trip him up. So they checked his professional life and they checked his personal life and yet found nothing. And what we see, obviously, is envy and jealousy. And in this envy and jealousy, they held secret meetings and did what they could to try to destroy Daniel, but couldn't find anything. So jealousy raged. They came up with a plan that we find revealed here, and then a plot in verses 8 and 9. We haven't got that far yet. But then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They said, "We got to trip him up. We got to come up with a plan that we can hopefully get him to violate the word of God and that relationship he has with God. We got to get him to do something against his convictions." So they came up with yet another plan. Couldn't do it in the professional life. Couldn't do it in the personal life. How about the religious life? That's what they shot for. The religious life. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. And of course they resorted to flattery. And said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom. Is that a lie? It's a lie already. Daniel was the first president. They begin by saying all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So they proposed a new law that they knew that Daniel could not keep because it would violate his religion, if you please. It would violate his convictions, his conscience. Now, obviously, Daniel was not included in this. The king did not realize it. He should have realized it, but he didn't. Now, remember, the Babylonians used fire for judgment. Remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were dropped into the fiery furnace as a punishment for their rebellion when they would not bow to the king or his image. And so they were thrown into the fiery furnace. We know, of course, not even a hair in their head was singed. Didn't even have a smell of smoke on them. Well, Persians worshipped fire, so they couldn't use fire, so they used lions. They were quite effective. Don't feed a lion for, you know, days at a time, and then throw in your enemies or throw in those that you didn't like, and the lions would eat them up. Before they hit the ground, before they hit the bottom of the pit, they would be gone. So that was the punishment. So for 30 days, they proposed that no one could ask a petition of anybody except the king. Now, when the king made a decree, and it was signed and sealed, not even the king could change his mind. I mean, that's how binding it was. Once he said yes, once he signed his name, once he used his signet, and he pushed that signet into some soft wax and made that seal permanent, that's it. It was over. That's how the document was sealed, with a wax seal and the king's signet. It's a done deal. So this isn't sounding so good. And if anyone disobeys, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, verse 8, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree, obviously filled with pride, said, oh, good, I can be the total 100% big shot, even more so than normal. No one can do anything without me. Daniel was therefore framed by his enemies, which leads us to number 3. Daniel is faithful to Jehovah. Daniel is faithful to Jehovah, verses 10 through 15. Verses 10 through 15. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, just like he normally would, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He didn't close them up, didn't hide under the bed, didn't pray silently when before he used to pray audibly and maybe loudly. Instead, he left the windows open toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, like he always did, and prayed just like he always did, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So as we read in chapter 1, he was still purposing in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he would not turn against his God, but that he would be found faithful. He did not change at all. Well, the men were hoping he wouldn't. But one thing that is of utmost importance, the circumstances of Daniel's life did not change his convictions. The danger that was before him did not change the man that Daniel had become. If he had to die, he would die. Didn't matter. He wasn't gonna drop his devotion to God because he might die as a result of it. Verse number 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I mean, there was no other choice to Daniel. There was no option. This was it. This was his life. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. So Daniel, again, he didn't change to please them. He didn't change to please the king. He didn't change the king to please King Nebuchadnezzar in the past or King Belshazzar. He didn't even pray somewhere else or at some different time to try to trick them where they wouldn't catch him. He didn't pray silently. He didn't pray again in the closet, under the bed, or whatever. He didn't change anything. He could have prayed silently as he did his other duties. He could just went about acting like he was doing his normal work, and while he was doing his normal work, he could have prayed silently. He said, I'm not doing that. His testimony, what others saw him doing, was important to him. It was an important part of his life. The rest of verse 12, hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So they came with great joy before the king because they had Daniel right where they wanted him. This is great. This is great, they thought. And finally get rid of this Jew. Then answered they and said before the king, notice the disdain, just like previously in the last kingdom. that Daniel, that nasty Jew that was brought up in captivity by that old king Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this petition three times a day. He does not care what you say. He doesn't care about your decree, king. He is totally ignoring it. And so we find Daniel determined and devoted and disciplined and delighting in his God and disgusted with what was trying to be done to him as he continued to pray. Well, the king, of course, he had high regard for Daniel. When he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. He allowed pride to carry him. He didn't think through what they were trying to do. He should have known. He knew at this point he should have known. He just gave in because the flesh is so weak. Pride overwhelmed him. And set his heart on Daniel. He said, I got to figure out something here to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The law said Daniel must die. The love that the king had for Daniel said, release him. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth shall surely die, and that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But thank God, the law says the sinner must die, but God loved and loves the world and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross to pay that sin debt in full. Christ never sinned a sin, never had a bad thought, but yet he died in our place. And if we acknowledge our need of a Savior, which means we're not good enough, any of us, to live a life that's so pleasing to God that we would earn or gain or merit eternal life. He sent Jesus to do that. Here we have a king who loved Daniel. Daniel had violated the law of the Medes and Persians, but the king could do nothing. Even though he loved Daniel, he could do nothing. He could not release him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And he couldn't think of a thing. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. And that leads us to verses 16 through 22. Daniel is failed by Darius. Daniel is failed to Darius, or you could say he's fed to the lions. He's fed to the lions, verses 16 through 22. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. The den of lions would be some sort of hole in the ground, had a cover over the top, whether it was a stone or some other cover. And generally, by the time the individual hit, before they hit the bottom of the pit, they were chewed to pieces. Might be a little blood left, a few bones, fragments left to lick up on the floor. But they were dead before they hit the ground. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, isn't that amazing? A little bit more sincere than the things Nebuchadnezzar would say. Nebuchadnezzar would say things that were convenient for the moment. But it seems like there's some conviction behind what Darius says here. Now, I'm not going to say he knew the Lord, but he must have believed the things he heard about Daniel and the God of Daniel, at least to some degree. I don't find any record here of Daniel saying this isn't fair. Lord, I've served you for 70 years. Why are you, or almost 70 years, why are you allowing this to happen? I don't see any of that. Daniel consistently laid his life at the feet of the Lord and said, whatever you want for me, that's what I want. That's how we find joy and peace and purpose in this life that seems so purposeless, is to be willing to say, Lord, I don't understand all that's going on around me. I just don't get it. But I am willing to put my faith and trust in you because I know that you know. And you're not going to leave me nor forsake me. That's what you promised. And he won't. So a stone was brought, verse 17, and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So it was sealed up, probably wax put around the stone. The signet ring of the king was pressed into that wax along with the lords, maybe the 120, maybe the two other presidents, I don't know, a bunch of, to show whether someone would break the seal or not. Well, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, couldn't eat, couldn't drink. There was no music that normally would have been played before him, and he couldn't sleep. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. I mean, he was beside himself in pain, knowing, you know, he wanted to believe that Daniel's God could deliver him, but really, you know, seriously, these are lions now. They hadn't been fed. So kind of, Daniel? You know, I don't know about the Daniel. Servant of the living God is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions. And notice that he said, whom thou servest continually. That was his testimony. Continually. He didn't take breaks. I'm not talking about continually like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He had to sleep. But I'm saying his heart attitude, his life was totally centered around his God. And Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel. I believe with all my heart it was the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Second person of the Trinity. Remember, again, Christ did not come into being at Bethlehem. He took on the form of a man at Bethlehem. But he has always been. He is God in the flesh. But before then, he was the second person, and still is, the second person of the Trinity, yet he did not have a body yet. So it's a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ as the angel, not an angel, it's a difference. The angel of the Lord. And so Daniel met Christ eyeball to eyeball, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in the fiery furnace. Sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking those whom he may devour. Here we find these literal lions in the lion's den, and the Lord Jesus came and protected Daniel before he was Jesus. The Messiah came. The Son of God came and protected Daniel. And it reminds us that we also as believers can submit to the authority of our God and acknowledge his ability and his power to deliver us if he so chooses, as we submit to his will. And of course, the king was delighted. This is where we're going to have to stop with verse number 22. My watch date is not right. What is the date? 20 what? 25th. All right. Any questions or comments? It's a great chapter, and Daniel was a great man. Him and Joseph in the Old Testament, we read nothing, though we know they were not sinless. We read nothing where they failed God. Other than Joseph had maybe a little pride issue over the coat of many colors.
I'm still at the idea that these people were back